so. Retired. There's an interesting subject. It's not a concept that you find anywhere in the Bible. So should we save for our retirement, or does God want us to do something quite different with our money? It's not an easy one, is it? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again, as I'm joined by Alex Cook, our money man, to take a look at this whole question of retirement from a different perspective. Alex, welcome.
Hi, Bernie. Great to be with you.
Hey, mate, I said before money's not in the Bible. I often joke with people who are at retirement age and say, well, if it's not in the Bible, it must be a sin. What's your take on retirement?
Look, there's nothing necessarily wrong with retirement in the sense of stopping paid work.
Yep.
However, the Bible is completely silent on the topic. There's one obscure reference in Numbers where God is giving instructions to Moses to tell the Levites to stop working at age 50. That's the only reference you'll find.
Moses starts his ministry at age 80.
Exactly.
Right.
My view is very simple. Each of us has a calling. We have an assignment that God wants us to do. And that calling does not stop the moment you reach, say, the magical age of 65 or whatever the retirement age is in your country. To me, retirement really, it's not a biblical concept. And the problem is most modern culture pushes this idea that you enter this period of leisure.
Yep.
Whereas I think in what I've seen, both as a financial planner but also from a Christian perspective, is firstly, the longer you work, the longer you'll live. It's actually much healthier to work.
There are some stats around that, right?
Absolutely. In fact, the scary stat is that most men die within 5 years of retirement. So retire later and you'll live longer, basically. But it's a statistical fact. And I think the reason why is you're kind of telling your body that you're shutting down.
Yeah.
That's it. But that shouldn't happen at all. As I say, as a Christian, you've got a calling, you've got an assignment. That doesn't end at an age. Now, that doesn't mean you have to do paid work till the day you drop.
Right.
And it may well be that we all have different circumstances, so we don't need to necessarily work. But it's about using the second half of your life and fulfilling the purposes for which God has called you.
So should Christians retire is somewhat of a moot question as far as you're concerned.
Exactly right, yeah.
So, okay, we've got an ageing population. What are some of the challenges that we're going to face as a society with more people getting older?
It's putting enormous pressure on governments around the world and on their budgets, if you like. Particularly, most countries, unfortunately, over the last 50 years have racked up enormous debts. So now they've got a massive headwind. The headwind is that people are getting older, so that's less taxpayers because they're no longer in the workforce, so the government's got to fund it. And, of course, they've got to pay back the debts that they've already accumulated. So enormous pressure. The other thing is we're all living longer. We now live 26 years longer than what we did 100 years ago. So think about it. Retirement's really sort of a fairly modern day concept. 100 years ago, most people would have worked till they dropped.
Yeah.
But now, you know, it's now seen as this divine right that you have this period of leisure. And I always take the view that you should be enjoying life as you go along, not just from 65 onwards. But not only that, of course, we're meant to be using our life to fulfill our calling, whatever that is, right till the very end.
One of the things I've noticed, and please, I don't want any retiree to take offence here, but one of the things I've noticed sometimes, particularly amongst some men, is that when they retire, that their view and their outlook becomes a lot narrower than it was when they were working. Am I missing the point here?
No, well, you're very accurate. But not only that, I've found it does all sorts of terrible things. Firstly, many people are lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they say 80% of a man's social life is through work. And so when you retire, essentially your social life drops by 80%. The second thing is I find people worry about money. Previously, you had a job, you had income coming in. The moment you cease work, you've then got to fund yourself in some way. And so people start worrying about money and they can become very inward. When people are in the workforce, they tend to be more engaged, more interesting, lots of things going on and busy. And I think that's the way we're meant to be. Not too busy, but, you know, we're meant to be doing things.
Active.
And active, yeah.
Engaged.
And that doesn't happen when you retire. And many people, as I say, they become lonely. And what I've witnessed, I had many clients who had plenty of money and could retire, but actually 6 months later, they're back in the workforce.
Yeah.
Bored out of their brain. So, and I think it comes back to the point that we have a purpose. God himself worked and he rested on the seventh day. Mm. So we're the same. We should be working and occasionally we rest too.
Even Adam tilled the land in the garden.
Yeah.
He wasn't sitting on his backside having a holiday on a beach with a pina colada, right? He was working too. I mean, I love what I do. I'm 57 years young. One day, I guess I won't be doing this. One day God will move me on, bring someone younger, whatever. But my calling is to preach the gospel, right? Yeah. I can't help myself. As long as I draw breath, I want to be sharing the good news of Jesus with someone, even though it may not be in the way that I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, well, in fact, there's a psalm that you would love. I think think it's Psalm 71, but I wouldn't quote me on that necessarily. But and that is, it says, even when I'm old and grey, may I preach your word to the future generations. Mm. That's a paraphrasing it. But essentially it's saying, you know, no matter what age you are, keep passing the gospel on to future generations, which is obviously something you're very passionate about.
Amen. Okay, so how does this move, this transition from paid work to maybe non-paid work, how does that change your financial management and planning?
Yeah, look, I think for every person, this is going to be quite different. So for some people, in terms of the finances, your finances obviously potentially dictate what you're able to do. Mm. For some people, they may be able to go to unpaid work and work, you know, for their local church or some sort of ministry or so forth. For others, it may well be you change career. Mm. Nothing wrong with that. And these days, that's becoming more common. You could have three or four careers in your lifetime.
Yep. Some of these young people have three or four careers by the time they're 30, mate.
Yeah. I did. Also, you might transition to your own business.
Yep.
Or you may transition into some sort of ministry or to part-time. Maybe you love what you do and you don't want to cease. Why cease? But you know, you lose a bit of energy, so perhaps you just go from full-time to part-time. I don't think there's a right or wrong on this, but I do think it needs to be planned and actually thought through carefully.
One of my neighbours was quite senior with an international airline and retired. It was appropriate. He was a pilot but involved in other things, safety. He now works as a consultant to multiple airlines around the world. Yeah. You know, a couple of days a week, two or three days a week, he's off to here, off to there. It seems to be a lovely way of transitioning. When you're at that age and you don't want to be working in the corporate world, you know, 70 hours a week anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
But also, you've still got a lot of value to add.
Totally.
Now, while you're still drawing breath, you've got value to add to the world.
Particularly with your age and your experience and your knowledge.
Yeah, More so,
yeah.
And you've got to pass that wisdom on.
Okay, so what about finances? What happens?
Well, I believe that Christians should still aim to be what I call financially independent. Now, you have to be very careful with these words because independence is one of the things that as human beings, we've tried to fight against God, if you like, and be independent from God. And that's sinful. That's, you know, that's man being
pride.
Pride. Yeah. Yeah, so that's wrong. But when I talk about the word financially independent, what because I'm trying to throw away the word retirement and what that means to people, but I still believe you need to have sufficient finances to make sure that you're not a burden on a future generations, on the government and so forth, as best you possibly can. So Christians should use their money, try and build it up so that perhaps you own your own home and that you have enough money left over so that you can fund yourself. So it's not about hoarding money away and building up a vast wealth, but just having just enough so that you can get yourself through without being a burden on others.
Of course, that's different in different cultures and different countries. In Western culture, we throw old people away, right?
No,
we ultimately stick them in nursing homes. Whereas in a lot of Asian cultures, Middle Eastern cultures, African cultures, old people become part of the family and they're looked after in the family. And indeed, they have a role in bringing up the younger children and helping boys to become men.
Yeah, and it should be that way. I actually think some of those cultures
got it right.
And they have a lot to teach us.
Absolutely.
In my experience.
Absolutely. Look, it's exciting stuff. Retirement's not an easy one for many people. What do you say to someone who's working hard and knows they're getting to the end of their working life and they simply don't have the resources?
Well, I say try and discard the word retirement from your psyche because it's putting pressure on you and making you feel uncomfortable about where you're at. So instead, try and replace it with how you're going to use the second half of your life for God and for glorifying Him and thinking, okay, well, if that's what it's going to look like, how do I transition to that? And that may well mean if you don't have those resources, that, you know, that you keep working, but in a different role.
And God is an amazing provider. Amen.
Amen.
Before we go, I'd just like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would absolutely love to pray for you. Because the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential, your name won't be displayed, and in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could pray for one or two others as well and leave them a word or two of encouragement. You can be such a mighty blessing to so many others by supporting them in prayer. God's word says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So please allow us to pray for you and with you
And let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.